The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Saint, and you're listening to Mike and Dave, my fourth favorite paranormal radio show, guys. Duo? Guys. Whatever, it doesn't matter. They're moving up in the ladder. And I love you.
Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. You are listening to the Odyssey Files on Monday night. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soiring. Good evening, Dave.
How are you, Mike?
You know, it always catches me because I always say, like, you're listening to the, you know, like, good evening, Para-X, and... And then I'm like, you're listening to the Odyssey Files. And I always want to go right into on Para-X. And I'm like, nope, I just said that. They know they're listening to Para-X. I don't have to do it. And so I'm like, it's Monday night.
Yeah. It'd be kind of redundant. So, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to keep the redundancy to a minimum. I think just having us on every Monday night is redundant enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
that's the most I'm willing to do.
Yeah.
So we were a little late tonight, which is actually awesome.
Totally not our fault. Yeah.
Nope, totally not our fault. We were here. We were here. I was here like a half hour ago. So, yeah. Totally not our fault. Really nobody's fault. But so we're here, and we're going to be actually tonight. We're going to be doing a recap of. The Scottish Rite Temple two-night investigation that we did this past weekend. And I know last week we talked about it. We had James Wallen on, who is a 32nd degree Mason, who was along with me putting all of this together. He was handling everything from the Mason side, and I obviously was handling everything from the investigation side. So he's coming back on a little bit later to... kind of give his take and share his experiences from this weekend. So I think that'll be good. I think he really, really was excited, not only for this weekend, but just to be on the show last week. He was like, yeah, man, let's do it. So he was nice enough on, you know, like 45 minutes notice to say that he would come on and talk with us some more and share his sort of thing. So Friday night, Saturday night, this past weekend, Scottish Rite Temple. I was wrong last week when I said it was the first investigation ever. It is the first investigation done by a team. But in passing, like a year and a half ago, when I was originally in there for a walkthrough for an investigation way back then, the curator, the person who protects the library, mentioned something about an author, a Canadian author, coming in and doing some sort of investigation for a book that she was writing. Don't know what the book was about, if it was Midwest, if it was religious stuff, I don't know. Kind of happy to see that he wasn't too impressed. So, hey, but team wise, you know, like a local paranormal team, was the first. So very happy to have that honor. I'd say we had a good crowd. You know, I originally wanted no more than 20 max. because anything more than that is just chaos. You know that.
Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, you and I, our very first event, you know, was a Chad Kalick event at Edinburgh and Farrar. I mean, and that was like 40 effing people.
Yeah.
And it was chaos. I mean, you couldn't get a good EVP if you wanted to.
Nope. And then we ended up running the show anyway. It was Chad's event, and it was Mike and Dave investigative weekend, and everybody like joined our team, even though we didn't have a team. You know, it was just us just going down there to have fun. Next thing you know, we got a whole team of people that we now are friends with years later. So
some of them, yeah. Uh-huh.
Some of them, yep. Yep. So that was interesting.
Although Heather unfriended me again, and I don't know why, because I wasn't even making fun of her this time. But, oh well, I digress.
Yeah.
So last week we heard about the history of the place. Now we'd like to talk about the actual investigation. So investigation kind of got off to a rocky start, thanks to me. Because I live about 30-35 minutes away from the temple, and we arrived and I set everything up, had the table all up, had the equipment out, all ready to go, went to put in the SD cards into like half the equipment to make it work, and I don't have any of them with me. So, you know, it's like 8 o'clock, we want to start around 9, and I don't have any SD cards. So I was like, I'm going to go home, I'm going to grab them, everybody just relax, I should be back in an hour. Get home, really, I'm like, I don't know, 2 minutes from home, and I realized that I had an investigation last weekend. Hadn't taken any of those files off the SD cards. I'm like, well, I have to do that. Otherwise, we won't have any room for all this new information. So I had to do that, and that went slower than I could. Just to give you a glimpse into how slow the transfer was. I put it in. I started it up. I sat there till, I don't know, like 5%. It was done. Maybe a couple minutes. Knew that I needed gas. Went down the street. Got gas. Came all the way back. It was only at 50%.
Woo!
Wow. Sat there for another 20 minutes. Waiting for, So
yeah, you were gone a while. Yeah, you were gone. We were like, just relax, have some more food. Everything's good. We'll get this thing started, you know, and Jim's out there entertaining the crowd, and I'm walking around talking to people. And so, I mean, it was all right. You know, they were it just built the anticipation up. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was doing.
Yeah, something like that anyway.
I was like, let's go. So I didn't get back to like 9:40. Quick, you know, did rules, did the setup, blah, blah, and off we went. So, I mean, after that, it was pretty much smooth sailing. And in my opinion, everything went really, really, really well.
I had a great time. I thought the place was, I had some expectations going into it just because of what I had heard, the age of the place, the Masons in general, who were secretive, you know, a super old secret society from, you know, way back of the Ark of the Covenant and Christ time and stuff like that. So, you know, I had some ideas of what was, but it went very, very smoothly. I'll say that. I mean, at least for our team, you know, and it looked like the other teams were having a good time also, you know, and that they were having, experiences, you know, they seem to be enjoying themselves. I mean, so I thought as an event, it looked like it went really well.
Yes. Crap, I lost it. You had said something that would spark a memory of something I wanted to say, and I've already lost it. So,
wow.
I know. It is a Monday. So for we couldn't get into the library the first night. Which was, I think, a huge draw to a lot of people. Because, I mean, that's like the nexus of that building. I mean, like James said last week, I mean, they've got manuscripts from like the 1500s in this library.
Yeah.
In fact, they have a kind of, I don't want to say it's a separate library, but that room right off the main entryway, you know, it has those shelves of books.
Sure. Yeah. That are all that has that kind of that old desk that was all hand carved. Said don't put anything on top of the desk. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, the sign on top of the desk that says don't put anything on top of the desk. Don't put anything
on top of the desk. Yeah. 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 That was the one.
But I mean, I asked James during the walkthrough, why are these books here and not in the actual library? I'm like, is it a room thing? I'm like, are these just not that important? Are they overly important? And he was talking about how they're like some German manuscripts and stuff like that from like the 1840s, but they're no, these aren't the really important ones. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I'm like, you have manuscripts from like the early 1800s, some from Germany, and you're like, these are the non-imports. If robbers came in and grabbed these, we'd be all right.
Yeah, and I looked at that when we did the walked back through there. I took a look. A lot of those were like sealed, to keep dust and from disintegration and stuff like that. They were actually sealed, and they were like it looked like some of those were handwritten journal. Yeah. Like I was like, these are they were under lock and key. I mean, you could have broken the glass and taken them, I suppose, but you couldn't get to them without committing a theft of breaking the. You couldn't just slide the cabinet door open and grab one.
Nope. Nope. And I remember now what I was going to say. You mentioned the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
So during my walkthrough, they have two, if not like three, prop rooms for all of their degrees and whatnot that they do. And we walked into one, and there's a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. I'm like, God, here it is.
Yeah.
The entire time, it's just it's right here in Minneapolis.
Yeah. And then they walked up and they were going to open it. And I put my hand down on top of it. I said, absolutely not. Do you know what happened the last time this thing got opened? People's faces melted clean off. We're not opening it. And James just started laughing. He's like, okay, all right, everybody back away from the Covenant. The Ark.
So you guys actually did get to see it. During
We saw it on our walkthrough. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I'm like, man, those guys at Oak Island are going to be so pissed.
Oh, yeah. Shit, all the money they spent. I mean, all we did was it's only like 20 minutes from my house. I could just drive right over there and open it. Take pictures of it. Send it over to those brothers.
Well, they won't be coming on our show anytime soon. If we were to do that.
You know what I didn't see, though? I didn't see King Solomon's menorah. So there's a possibility that they speculate that that's down there at Oak Island. So that could be maybe they're going to find King Solomon's menorah. We have the Ark of the Covenant here in Minneapolis and out in Nova Scotia or whatever that is. I think it's Nova Scotia, whatever.
It's Oak Island off the coast of Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia, yeah. They have the menorah, maybe, which is important, but it's nowhere near as important as what we have.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
So personal experiences, at least for us for Friday night. Obviously we had like random K2 hits that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Especially since Jim, especially during the tour, had his K2 going, got like no hits. None. And I'm out in the middle of the auditorium. I mean, like there's nothing anywhere around me. Although there are plugins in the floor, and I even put it right on top of it and it had like nothing, but they were going off. However, Saturday night, my K2 was going crazy up in the costume shop.
The same one that we were in with all of the, the spears on the wall and all that stuff. Yeah,
that is correct.
Yeah.
And it was going even more chaotic than it did Friday night when you were there.
Yep.
And, it got to the point where I just shut it off. And I'm like, well, we have to communicate another way because I don't know what you're doing. But during the SB7 session, we did it up in the costume shop Saturday night and Jim put his K2 right next to mine. Like, I mean, they're like 3 inches apart. Mine's right, it's going nuts. His is just sitting there.
Really?
So, yeah. So I don't know if it's if mine is like super sensitive or it's picking up like stuff from outside, I don't know. Huh. But it was crazy. His didn't go off a single time. Mine's like I had to shut it off.
Well,
so it's an interesting thing. Now tell me about, because you, after our session in the costume shop Friday night,
yep.
You most of us are already downstairs.
Yep.
It's you and who?
It was me and James's wife and the two, and I think it was her sister and then that other gal that had the Packers sweatshirt on that we were razzing all night.
Okay, so it was
Katie, the three of
Jenny
us
and Carrie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we were in the makeup room where the barber chairs were. Yep.
So did you walk down the hallway?
Yeah, are you talking about when the thing happened?
Yeah.
Okay, no. So what happened is they walked in and I was still sitting in the barber's chair and we started chatting and they're like, "How's it going?" And I said, "Good." You know, I said, I came in here and I said, I asked, you know, for somebody to come do a makeover on me, you know, and just to see if I could get any type of response, and nothing happened. And I said, I was kind of waiting, you know, they had all those wigs on those heads behind the cabinet, the glass door cabinet. And I said, I was kind of waiting for one of those heads to kind of spin a little bit. I thought, you know, I'm just kind of watching them and I'm going, maybe, you know, one of those heads is going to turn a little bit. And I told them that and they, you know, we were laughing and they're like, "Well, which one did you choose?" You know? And so I'm showing them and we're just goofing around. And so, so James's wife, what's her name again? I'm sorry.
Katie.
Okay. So Katie went over and, you know, they had those big Craftsman tool chests, those stackers. Well, those are all full of makeup and makeup products. Okay. So she's opening the drawers and she's showing them to the other women that were in the room. And she's like, "Well, look, you know, yeah, they got like all this and they've got this, all this makeup that they use. And you know, sometimes people are in these chairs for like an hour getting their makeup done." And she closes all the drawers and I stood up and the four of us were standing there kind of just in the middle of the room talking for a minute. And out of nowhere, you hear, "Rrr, rrr, rrr." Like, and to me, the first thing that popped into my head was, it was like a child's toy of Godzilla that if you like squeezed his belly, he would make the rrr, you know, like a noise like that. It came directly from the area that they had just been looking at all the makeup. And so I'm like, "Well, there's got to be something in one of those drawers, like a sound effects kind of thing." We went back and opened up every single drawer. There was absolutely nothing there. Nothing. I have no explanation for what it was. But it was loud. It was three distinct kind of – it wasn't what I would consider a growl. It was more of like a roar. And it happened three times in a row. And then, I mean, we jiggled stuff. We moved everything. We opened every drawer. We went through every cabinet. We moved the cabinet forward, looked behind it in case something had got like fallen back there and had gotten pushed a little bit. There was absolutely nothing there. So I have no idea where that came from. But it was a total disembodied type of thing.
Because when you said that you got brought up by Godzilla.
Well, that's what it sounded like.
Well, I understand that now. I thought that there was some sort of prop of Godzilla that was in that room that you were attributing the sound to.
No.
And on Saturday night, we walked into, because there's the makeup room and then there's that really short hallway that goes into that other room. It's not the main hallway, that short one.
Connects those two, like that first little room, and then it connects that little hallway, connects the makeup room. Yep, I know what
exactly.
You're doing. Yep.
So on top of, in that other second room, on top of one of the cabinets, I walk in there and there's like this lizard tail that's hanging down.
I saw it.
And so I thought that was what you were talking about. I'm like, "Oh, look, there's got, you know, the Godzilla's tail and blah, blah, blah." And come to find out, if we flipped on the lights and what, it's just a beanbag chair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, that doesn't make any sense." And
yeah.
Now it does, because I didn't know that it was just the sound that you were trying to make the comparison to. I thought there was an actual prop of God. Are you sure it just like maybe wasn't a Harley from outside?
Oh, no, it was right there. I mean, we were standing there. It wasn't coming from outside. It was right in the room with us.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was directly in the room because I heard it and I stopped dead and I'm listening to it and I turned and I looked and I could pinpoint exactly where it was coming from. And I didn't say anything and they were walking towards the door and they stopped dead in their tracks and they're like, okay, what was that? And I'm like, well, I'm not really sure. It kind of sounded like Godzilla growling at us or roaring at us. And it came from right here. And we walked right back to it. Like I said, the four of us pretty much dissected that whole area and found absolutely nothing that could be attributed to that. Nothing whatsoever.
Nice.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a good personal experience. Of course, my recorder was off at that point. I had just – well, because they walked in and we were chatting about the wigs and everything else, I just said, okay, ending session and shut it off. And it wasn't 5 minutes later the roar comes. And I'm like, that's just typical right there. You know?
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
I know there's a couple people that saw full-bodied apparitions.
Yep.
There, Jim and Josie both saw the same figure walk by a door when there should have been, you know, nobody in that area. That was Friday night. And Dawn and Deb, who were with me Saturday night, we were up in the costume shop. And you know that the hallway goes, there's, I don't want to even call it a hallway. It's kind of like a walkway. And there's three rooms right in a row. And if you stood at the doorway of one, you could see all the way through all three of them.
Yep.
And it's kind of like this massive changing area. And we were all in the room with this long room. I mean, it's probably what, 30 feet long, something like that.
At least. Yeah. I would say 30, 40 feet would be. Yeah. Yep.
And it houses all of their degree costumes. There's counters, counter islands going throughout the entire room. Everybody but me is sitting on the counters and I'm looking at the millimeter, which is right in front of me. And, all of a sudden Deb's like, I just saw somebody walk by in the changing room, which is the furthest away room from where we were.
Yep.
And it so happened that Dawn, who was on the completely opposite side of the room, was like, I saw that too. To them, it looked like a very tall figure, almost as tall as the doorway, had walked by, looking like he was going to change. I did not see it because I wasn't looking. So there's definitely, if there's enough for at least two full bodied apparitions in one weekend, it's pretty good.
When I was sitting with the FLIR in the auditorium and you asked me to turn my flashlight light on and kind of shine it over the top of my head. And I said, why is somebody standing behind me? And you're like, well, I swear to God, when I just looked over, right, I saw a guy standing behind you looking at the FLIR, looking at what you were doing. And I saw him illuminated by the FLIR screen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw that.
I don't know if I was matrixing or what, because, I mean, I had you redo it and it didn't look anywhere remotely what it was. But, I mean, you know, you were in the process of shutting it off. And just before it shut off, like, there was... I would have bet money that James was standing behind you.
Right. That's exactly what you thought it was. Yep.
And as soon as I had that thought, I'm like, wait a minute. He's actually behind me sitting down.
Yep.
Sitting in the pews. Yep. And I'm like, well, that's nuts.
Yeah.
But then let's not forget before you shut that off, the people sitting there right in front of you.
Right.
This is why I love the FLIR. Because, you know, nobody's been in that room for, you know, 15, 20 minutes at least.
At least, yeah.
And Dave's sitting on the stage. We have a small group. I mean, there's only like, what, four people with us? Yeah, it was James, Katie, Carrie, and Jenny. Yep. And then you and I.
Yeah.
So we're all spreading out this humongous auditorium. And in front of you, where nobody has sat at all, and
there's two heat signatures.
There's two heat signatures, correct?
Yep.
And my first thought was, well, I mean, we did have another team. Maybe it's their fading
right
thing. But, like, it was hot. Like, it wasn't cooling.
No.
And then
at one point, when you were looking at it with me, you're like, what the heck? It just got bright red again.
Yeah.
And that was crazy because it was like somebody had just sat down again. And there was absolutely nobody there. There was nobody in the room with us except for, like you said, the four of them. You and I were nowhere near the pews. I was all the way across the whole entire auditorium. And you were basically hanging out towards where I was.
Well, I wanted to see the FLIR.
Well, I know. You were moving around, but you were nowhere near the pews, is what I'm saying.
No. I wanted to stay right in the middle of the auditorium, where if anything like the K2 or whatever were to happen in the REM pod, which was right in the middle.
Yep.
Oh, no, that was Saturday. We didn't have it with us.
Yeah, we didn't have the REM on Friday. You were getting the K2 hits, though. You were trying to follow it around, walking around the auditorium, trying to follow it and see where it was going.
Well, yeah, and I was going from one side to another, and it was just like, but I could never get it over orange, which always bothered me, because that just leads me to believe that it's a constant amount. Like, there's no control, really, over if it can go to red, if it can do this and that. But the thing was that I went up in the costume shop on Saturday, was getting those same hits. None of them over orange, and to the point where I shut it off. Well, because I shut it off and it's black, we forgot it up there. And so I told Tanner to go ahead and use it, you know, for this one, but make sure he brings it back down.
Yep.
Well, he actually radios me halfway through the session or whatever. And he's like, were you getting any hits on red up here? And I told him, not in that room. I'm like, I tried to find a wire current or mm-hmm. something like that, you know, a power surge that would allow for that type of thing. And I found it like through the doorway, that little hallway that we were just talking about with the lizard tail.
Yep.
The wall comes down, you know, obviously to frame the doorway, and right above it, I actually got it to go to red. So I'm like, okay, well, there's gotta be some sort of wiring
here. Older stuff in there. Yeah.
Right. That's gotta be there, but that's not going to affect it, you know, 30 feet away in a completely different room where we can't find that.
Yeah, not at all.
And so he radioed back after I told him about that. And he's like, he's like, this is going up to red like constantly. I'm like, well, then you're better than me.
Yeah, well, you were asking for it, though. I mean, you were constantly asking for it to go up to red. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it wouldn't do it for me, that's for sure. But Tanner said that it was going up to red like crazy.
Well,
it's definitely interesting. I have left out a few of the personal experiences, especially one in particular, because I think James would probably like to discuss it more than it. Because, like, I think even on Saturday he was still talking about it.
The one that happened Friday.
Friday, yeah. While we were in the lounge, you stayed in the auditorium. Oh, and we told you all about it.
Yep.
So I mean, he had some. Experiences too, but
well, did he tell you that after I saw the app? Okay, so when we were in the dining hall and you guys were in the bathroom, like the actual dining room there, and you guys were in the women's bathroom down there,
yes,
so we were asking for stuff, you know, obviously. And to our right down the hall, like the same wall that the library is on, but down like where that kind of that folding screen was in the corner,
yep,
that was
exactly what you're talking about,
right? Yep, so. We're like, you know, I'm hearing stuff. We're all hearing stuff. And then all of a sudden there's just this loud bang back there from that little alcove back there. And so we all looked that way. And when I turn back and look over, there's a dude standing right behind James, behind that big pillar. And he's about 2/3 of the way out. And I saw his head and his head and his shoulder and part of his torso. And then, as soon as he saw that I saw him, he took off and bolted back, and that's when he blocked those lights off, and then he went towards the kitchen, and then we heard noises in the kitchen. And then you guys, after that, shortly came out of the bathroom. So one of the things that was, and I tried to get pictures of it, of course, and nothing showed up. But one of the things that was interesting was James had the K2 right after that happened, and it was just him and I. And we're standing, walking out of the building and then out of the park, into the parking lot, and that K2 is going off. And I think that whatever that entity was that walked up to him, that was standing behind him, actually was walking out with him. So I said, okay, can you make it just go down to green? Just stop touching it. Get out from in front of it. Just let it go down to one solid green. And it did. And I said, okay, come back in, and can you make it peak on the red? And it walked right back in, and it maxed it at red. And I said, okay, well, James, I think you got somebody who – somebody who's inside saw that. I think I saw who it is following you outside. So I'm curious to talk to him about how that went, because I told him to make sure that he did the speech, and actually we did it together there on that little back handicap wooden walkway thing, and said, you know, you stay here. You know, I like coming here and seeing you, but you're not coming home with me. You know, so we talked about it. We did the talk and stuff like that. So
there is one more. One more personal experience had by my group on Saturday that I want to talk before we play commercials and then bring James on. And that is there has been a question that I have wanted to know since getting into the paranormal, which I believe has been answered.
Uh-oh.
And that is, do ghosts fart?
No way.
Oh yeah. And it wasn't even a fart, it was a queef.
Oh,
the whole team sitting in the billiard room.
Yep.
Not with the actual pool tables where they have all the couches and
where they saw a guy sitting there. They saw somebody sitting in one of those chairs. I forget who it was. I think it was Tanner or Tanner's group. That was another apparition that they saw. They turned the corner and there was a guy sitting in one of those chairs and he just dissolved.
I didn't hear that at all.
Well, ask him. Yeah, you'll have to ask him, because he came over and told me about it.
Yep. Nope. Had no clue on that one.
There was a lot of apparitions, man. I mean, that was like a year's worth of, like 10 years worth of apparitions at that
point. So,
seriously.
But we're all sitting there and we're just kind of chatting, because I know there's only like 2 or 3 minutes left in the session. And we weren't really feeling anything down there. We weren't really getting much response. And whatnot, but all of a sudden here, this, you know, I can't recreate it.
Right.
But if you've ever heard the sound of a queef,
yes,
that's exactly what happened right in between all four of us, because we were all sitting on different couches.
Yep.
And we're all like, I mean, seriously, we all started laughing because it was hilarious. But I'm like, did you just hear what I heard? And what did it sound like to you? Because this, we all agree that it sounded like somebody who was like clenching their butt cheeks together to try to hold in a fart and do it and couldn't.
Yep.
And Deb had a recorder going. We had the camcorder on. It had got to be caught. But yeah, that was awesome. It was the funniest sound I disembodied sound that I had ever heard.
That's
funny. It was. So, all right. We're going to play our commercial break. And while we're doing that, we're going to bring James on. And we can continue recapping our two-night investigation at the Scottish Rite Temple. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Odyssey Files on Para X.
Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Oh, hey, Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey,
what has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling. The Calling. The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on PRX.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making PRX part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. PRX.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on PRX. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on PARAX Radio.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
Okay, good.
And we are back.
That wasn't 20 seconds.
No, no, it wasn't.
It was like
because,
8 seconds.
No, it was because I made him say.
You're like 20 seconds.
I was reading.
Wait a minute, was, man. Wow, time's really flying today, man.
I was reading the clips that still had left to play. Gotcha. And that was it, but not what the clips were. And I always like to end the show with the Ken Bogle promo. And so when I all of a sudden saw that was about to play, I'm like, oh crap, and I had to hit stop and we're back. So that was my fault.
Ta-da. But
yeah. We did it like bosses.
Yes, we did.
All right, so we are talking about the investigation this past weekend at the Scottish Rite Temple. We have Mr. 32nd Degree Mason himself, Mr. James Wallen, correct?
That is correct. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, good. How's your car?
She's awesome as usual.
Gotcha. I hope you have it, like, running with air conditioning.
Oh, it's
actually, I'm in kind of southern Minnesota, so it's actually kind of cool down here right now.
Gotcha. It was. I know it was raining when the show started, but we're not here to talk about weather. So,
no.
now, for the first part of the show, Dave and I kind of went over what had happened during the event for us personally and for other teams. But we left out certain things that I know you were a part of so that you could talk about them. So could you just talk about your favorite experiences from this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, the biggest thing that I wanted to touch on was thank you to you and your team for the respect that you gave the building that I think that we all agree deserves. It is a very historical place, and you can see that we do very much care for it. And your team was very respectful of that, so thank you. My biggest thing that was really neat was actually the last night. The last thing that we did was doing the spirit box in the wardrobe room. We did do the spirit box the night prior inside the auditorium, and it seemed like there was just so much that it was impossible to make out what was what as it was happening. And it seemed like in the wardrobe room, it was unfortunately, a lot less active, but active nonetheless. And I don't recall the question that I outright asked. I think I asked something like, would it be okay if I pulled the costumes out of the closet? And there was instantly no. Right there on the spirit box. And I thought that was just neat as could be. Like, wow, that's pretty cool. the other thing, too, was also in that room, again, on the second night, we actually seemed to be able to communicate via the K2 for just like 2 or 3 minutes, and then it was kind of gone. But it seemed to be honestly answering questions when I was asking them, which it seemed to be that way for all the teams, actually. It seemed that the questions that the Masons were asking were the ones that were being answered, or at least interacted with.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, that's why during that Spirit Box session on Saturday night, I was just like, okay, so for the next couple of minutes, I only want Masons asking questions, because it just seemed obvious that they weren't interested in asking or answering questions by me, or, you know, by Jim or anything like that. They wanted to talk to you guys, which doesn't surprise me in any way, shape, or form.
And yeah, that was very, I was surprised. I mean, I guess I understand the whole us Masons take care of us Masons. We recognize each other and we go out of our way for each other. In a situation like this, I guess I don't know what I was or wasn't expecting. I was firmly thinking that, you know, we'll ask a couple of questions, we may get a couple of answers, but it just didn't seem to happen until a brother actually spoke up, identified himself as such, and then it just seemed to kind of pour on very heavily for just a few minutes, and then it was kind of done. But it was just a neat, neat experience.
Yeah, Spirit Box often is.
Yeah,
which sadly is why I know there's a lot of people out there, that's really all they do. They go into places, they turn on a Spirit Box for like an hour, hour and a half, and that's their entire investigation.
Yeah, that's not an investigation. That's entertainment.
I was going to say that's paranormal entertainment.
That's paranormal entertainment. That is not an investigation.
But I left this experience out specifically because I know that even, and it happened on Friday night when in the lounge, when you were with Dave and I,
yes.
And I know even on, like, I think even on Saturday you came up to me and you were like, I've been thinking about this and trying to figure it out. Why don't you tell people about what that experience was?
Yes, we were in the lounge, and for those that were there or maybe know the building, it's where all of the red chairs and couches are, where we kind of go after dinner to just sit and relax and kind of talk back and forth. And I don't know if we were asking any specific questions or if we were doing anything particular, and it's funny that I don't remember that, because I think the event was so intense and overwhelming that I forgot all about whatever it was. But we heard extremely loud, very slow footsteps, and the footsteps were heavy. Like, whoever it was had to be 450 pounds wearing hard cowboy boots or something to that effect. And they were so slow. I mean, people don't walk that slow. And
no, they don't.
And I remember I asked you, I jumped up, like, can I go look? And I ended up turning on the lights that were on the motion sensor. There was nothing there. I tried to stomp in the hallway where I felt like they came from. And you said it didn't sound like that. Then I thought, well, maybe it was on wooden steps. There were people in the elevator machine room. And I stomped in there, and I could not get it to happen. And the other thing, too, was that another Scottish Rite Mason was kind of at the other end of the hallway, and he thought that it had come from the balcony in the red room, which is totally possible, but nobody was in there is the problem. There was nobody in that room at that time.
Well, not only that, but from the lounge, the red room is like 100 yards away.
Well, it seems like it would be, yeah.
I mean, because it's all the way down the hallway and up the stairs, and then you're talking about the balcony, which would have been on a completely different floor.
Level. Yeah, another level up.
Exactly.
And yeah, what the way that I've been describing it, and I still right now think that it's probably the best way of describing it to people who were not there. If you're watching one of the re-dramatization shows, like Paranormal Survivor or Witness or A Haunting or something like that. And they're trying to really get the audience to be scared, you know. So they're having the living victim, you know, in bed, and behind this closed door, you hear this boom, 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 you know, coming towards the door. That's exactly what this sounded like in that slow. So when James talking about people don't walk that way, people don't walk that way. I mean, it was very deliberate, very heavy, and loud. And there was one set. I mean, nobody's supposed to go anywhere alone. I mean, and nobody left their group to go to the bathroom. There was no way for one set to just be walking around.
And it was only like what, 6 foot, like 6 total footsteps or something like that, right?
Yeah,
6 or 8 or something. I mean, it wasn't like 100 steps. I mean, it was just a little, just like a little, you know, whatever it was, 15 seconds of heavy boot steps.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if I can put this in too, it didn't seem like the footsteps necessarily went anywhere. Like they didn't cover any distance.
No, they didn't. You know, if they were going down steps, it would have been maybe from like the top of the steps to 3/4 of the way to the steps. You know, there was really no way of getting anywhere with however many we heard. So yeah, that to me, I've never heard, obviously I heard on re-dramatizations, but like live during investigation, I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah. I missed it.
It was just incredible. I still can't get over how intense and how loud they were. And even when I did try to recreate it, I think I was going too fast. Like I just naturally could not go that slow.
No, it'd be tough. I mean, like you have to make a very, very conscious effort to just be like, all right, I'm going to take one step, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, you know, three, you know, that kind of thing. And, yeah, I mean, nobody naturally is going to walk like that.
You know, and I didn't hear him, but the interesting thing was, I remember James, when you came downstairs, you were like, I was really like stomping as hard as I could. And the group that, you know, that was sitting in there that heard it said, you were nowhere near as loud, nowhere near as loud. And you were like intentionally like slamming your foot down, trying to be loud.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I was still in the auditorium watching a green ball of light float around. So that's when you guys heard that.
So were there any other experiences that you had, James, that especially from Saturday? Because I know you were with Jim and Scott, and not me. So I've already learned of one experience tonight that I had no idea about. So, I mean, do you have any? Any more, I should say.
I was very... One, I think we were all kind of depressed, especially Mike, when I took you on the initial tour of the building and we went into that women's room downstairs. And we were like, what is this? I mean, it looked like something off of Pullman Garden TV. Like, you know, they just completely redid that. It was amazing how it looked in there. You know, we did have one person that did have a personal experience in there that they became a little overwhelmed emotionally. One thing that I had was on Friday night, I do recall when we were in the Knights of St. Andrew room, I sat next to this alcove that's in there.
Absolutely. And I forgot about that. Yep.
I just had the heebie-jeebies. The alcove was on the right side of me, and I just didn't feel very comfortable. I really wanted to move, and I just kind of sucked it up like, it's no big deal, just whatever, calm down. But I really did want to move, and I do know that Jim sat in that, and I sat in that same chair, and... he felt like, he said that he, you know, here or there, he felt a little uneasy, but nothing horrible or anything like that. And also one of our members said that she had become emotionally overcome with sitting in that area. Yes. So that was very interesting to me and also a little concerning. I mean, you don't want anybody to ever get upset for something, but, you know, the question is, what happened? Did something connect with her on a very close level and it just really connected with her, or what? Who knows? It's so tough to say. I mean, there's really no way to know for certain, but the experiences were just really fantastic for me. I'm looking very forward to, like, the outcome of everything. You know, we did a lodge experiment in the Red Room, and curious to see how that turns out, if anything at all. And it was really neat to just get to work with your folks. And also, I liked on the second night that we went with other people. The first night I went with you and Dave. The second night I went with Jim and Scott. And, you know, the experiences were a little different. And I also remember one thing on Friday night when we were in the wardrobe room. Somebody called you on the radio asking if we were
moving furniture. They asked if we were, like, sliding furniture around because they heard, like, desks or chairs being slid across the floor.
Are you guys still there?
Yeah, we're here.
We're still here.
Boy, that was really strange. But I really, I'm sorry, going back to that radio communication as far as the furniture being moved around or something, and we're just sitting there. Half of the team is literally sitting on the countertops, and the other half is just leaning on it. Yep. We didn't hear anything, but they're sitting there hearing clear as day that furniture is being moved around or something up there. Yep. Was just amazing to me. And, yes, there's definitely these little bangs, these little cracks and things like that. And as a healthy, I don't want to necessarily say skeptic. I'm not a skeptic, but at the same time I'm very skeptical that everything is paranormal in that sense. You know, those little bangs, those little cracks, I take it with a grain of salt. The building is ancient, as we know. It could have been the building settling. It could have been the furniture settling, the humidity taking part in the wood or something like that. But there was definitely a lot of activity going on, and it wasn't necessarily nonstop. There didn't seem to be any specific time that it was really popping. It just seemed to be the different areas at different times for the different groups.
You know, James, as you were talking about that, I totally, totally spaced the St. Andrew's room because there was so much going on. I mean, there was so many different things happening in so many different locations, but I totally had that same vibe as we were sitting in there talking. You know, I was to the, it would have been to, right to my left, and it was right to your right. And both of us kept looking over. I would see you do it, and I would feel the same way. We both constantly kept looking that way, you know, like we were waiting to see somebody sitting there is kind of the feeling that I had. Yeah. So, and I don't want to connect the dots here. I'm totally not trying to connect the dots, but I just want to point out like a sequence of events. So we were upstairs in that room. Okay. And had kind of that weird feeling about that little desk in the alcove. And then later in the night, you and I and Katie were downstairs sitting in the dining area while Mike and the group that went with him were in the women's bathroom. And we heard that loud bang as we were asking questions kind of down on the same wall that the library was, kind of where that room partition shade is, you know, back in that corner. All three of us heard that super loud bang. And then when I turned around and looked back to you to say something and saw the apparition of the guy standing right over basically, 3 feet behind you with about two-thirds of his body out, standing out of that pillar, that great big pillar that was behind you. And then as we left, you had the K2 and you definitely had something following you because we asked it to move away, to make it stop registering, then to make it like register even harder, you know, to go up to orange, to go up to red, and it did it. And you moved away from the group and still it did it for you when you were all by yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, a speculation here, just time frame wise, if there wasn't something in the St. Andrew's room that followed us, came downstairs, I saw it materialize behind you, and then it walked out with you and was following you around.
You know what? I didn't even look at that. That's a great mean, because the time frame fits perfect.
Yeah.
It really does. And just so you know, I did take your advice, and I got home and took a shower and definitely went to bed right after that. But it was very strange because we went and looked for that. Where did that sub-basement ladder come up?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the K2 started to go bananas as we were trying to walk back to our kind of command post.
Right. Right, which seemed very odd that it should not have been going off there because there was absolutely nothing happening there. So,
I didn't even look at that as far as the timing, and you're absolutely right. That is, the timing's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't like to connect the dots. It just makes too much sense. It seems to be too great of a coincidence to not mention that. You know, that something sitting in that room might have followed us down, had the ability to materialize to the point where I could see part of it, and then was following you around for whatever reason. I don't, maybe it was inquisitive or maybe it took a liking to you. I'm not sure, but it seemed to me that something was following you around there for a while anyway.
Definitely. And you know, the other thing too, is I shut all those doors in that basement. I mean, it was almost rock solid dark. I mean, we had very little light coming out of there. In fact, the most light that we had was coming off of that device showing the temperature.
Yep. Yep.
Perfect. So James, in a minute or less, can you just give a brief, very brief summary of just your thoughts on the weekend in general?
Number one, very successful. It was better than I could have hoped for. I really enjoyed it. The other Mason that had to be there for the building's sake was so excited for it, Foster. He had so much fun that he was jumping up and down. We've got to do this next year. We've got to make it a bigger deal. This has to be a yearly thing. It was just a huge success, and especially with the way your team was so professional and, like I said, very respectful. And I really appreciate that. So thank you both for including us all and letting us go with you into that investigation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really glad you had a good time. I mean, I really am. I'm glad that I think some of your questions got answered, and I think that I think that was really the goal going into anything, is to be able to help you understand that everything, there might be something there, but it's nothing to be worried about in this case. Yeah, so.
Yep, absolutely.
Perfect. Well, that does it for us tonight. Coming up next is the Shadows with our boss, with our old, wise, and powerful boss, Rebecca. yeah, we'll see you all next week. Have a good night. Have a good week.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Bogle. You know, you hear so many great moments during each and every episode of The Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike. But if I had to really choose my favorite moment, it would have to be when the show was over.